KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me
is Caleb.
That's right. Jason is out this week,
mm-hmm.
but in his absence, love is here.
Yes.
If you're sort of a little inside joke from last week, we were beating pretty hard down on love. But
oh, man. Poor love. Never had a chance.
Nope. Not with Jason around. he just beat it down real good. Take that, love. So Punch. Now maybe love can grow, get a little sun, maybe come back. We'll see, though. Maybe I have some things to say about love this week or something.
Perhaps.
To keep it down. Who knows? You'll just have to tune in and listen. But
keep
say,
here.
Yeah, say you're like, well, who the heck are these two guys? Which normally there's three, but for now, who are these two guys?
There's two of us.
And this other person they speak of. Well, we are Robots Attack, a geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. We talk about tech stuff, entertainment stuff, comic books, video games, movies,
mm-hmm.
everything under that geek umbrella.
Space.
Space.
3D printing.
3D printing.
All that fun
DARPA.
Stuff. DARPA gets a fair amount of love because, let's be honest, DARPA's on the bleeding edge of a lot of cool tech. For better, for worse, however you might feel about that.
That's
they have
true.
Making some cool stuff.
And if you're listening and like, what is DARPA?
DARPA is the Defense Research... Oh, I forgot the rest of the acronym. But basically,
yeah,
they are...
I didn't remember it, so I was like, oh, maybe Caleb knows.
DARPA is the arm of the government, which has a military background, but they don't exclusively work in that realm. Basically, what they do is... lots and lots and lots of research, and it's like almost like pure research. Like they not so very long ago, I had an interview with one of the directors, I think, of DARPA.
Okay,
and she was saying that like they actually got a plane to go Mach 25 for about 20 seconds, and in which case it burned up and blew up.
But hey,
someone said that is a waste of taxpayers' money. Mixed results on that particular front, but there is a lot of really good science that came out of that. Like they got tons of good data from that really bizarre kind of edge of understanding flight, because the data from that will go into material sciences, it mm-hmm. will go into mm-hmm. rocket sciences. It's gonna yep. it has expanded reach beyond just putting a jet in the air that goes Mach 25.
Yep. It's like, you know, if you don't crack those eggs, can't make that omelet.
Exactly.
Can't make those cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's some recipes that don't have dairy. But
yes,
besides the point, just don't worry if you're like, oh, great, this is like the next 2 hours of DARPA. No, we don't talk about DARPA all the time. Just, you know.
It comes up fairly regularly because of what they do.
Yeah. And if you were out there like, well, I know the entire acronym, like I know exactly what it means,
mm-hmm.
but I want to like yell it at them, but they won't know who I am. If only there was a way that they could reach out.
If only there was a way, like Facebook.com/RobotsAttackShow or perhaps Twitter.com/RobotsAttackMe. If only those two were open all the time on the internet.
Man.
Because the fail whale has not shown up for a number of years now on Twitter, so it must be doing okay.
Oh, man.
If only those websites were available.
If only we had planned ahead to have those sort of things open so that people who are listening could participate.
Yes.
Except for those who are driving, don't participate now, do it later.
Yes.
And you're thinking, but wait, that later means after the show. Clearly, they won't care because it's after. No, we do care.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a story we talked about last week, because you can go to our website, robotsattack.me, and listen to previous episodes because we turn them into podcast versions, you know, hip and cool podcasts. That's what all the kids are into these days, right?
Can you find our back catalog there? We also have all the links to all of our stories there as well. As we go through the later in the show, we will hit some newsy stuff and the new releases schedule, a sampling of it, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
We'd be here all night and
yep.
You'd be very bored.
Yep.
But,
I know I would be.
Yeah. But you can find the TLDR at our website, and you can leave comments there. You can email us through there. All we can connect to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme through there as well.
All those things.
All the things.
And since we are on KSU Santa Clara, and I think the school's just starting up around here.
That's right.
You know, hello to all new students and returning students.
Hello again. Welcome back. Oh, I'm glad to see you. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah.
Even though it does make parking a little bit more difficult, we still are glad to see you.
Yes, yes. So what we like to do is start off our show with a little bit of geek talk.
Mm-hmm.
What that is we just kind of kick back and talk a little bit of what we've been up to since last we spoke. And we also have, like, after that, a watch party that we've been doing for these past few weeks.
Yes.
But because Jason is not here, we're holding off on that this week, mostly because it's the last two episodes of Punchline, the series that we've been watching, 11 and 12. And so I'd rather, if it were just like a couple other episodes, you know, during it, we could just, the two of us, just go through them, you know, whatever, because that's, you know, the audience is keeping up with us, so we want to keep up with them.
Right.
But since it's the last two episodes, you know, I want us all to be here so we can talk about those, and then as well just kind of wrap up the series, our thoughts on it, and
right.
And of course announce what our next watch party will be as well.
Exactly.
So
enjoy this week and tune in next week to find out our thoughts and what's coming next.
Yeah, and this gives you an opportunity if you're like, whoa, I'm just listening for the first time. I want to get in on this watch party. You know, we're watching the anime Punchline. You can check it out. And we're up to the last two episodes. So that's what we'll be talking about next week. So
you've got
a week to catch up. And you can even, if you don't even want to like watch them, you could go back and listen to our previous episodes. We talked about, you know, two episodes a week. So you can even listen to those if you want and then catch up, you know, however you prefer. I don't want to force you to do what you don't want to do.
No, it's all about enjoying it and being a part of the conversation.
Yes.
However that, you know, whatever that interaction is like for you.
And speaking of conversation, so Caleb,
how
have you been since last we spoke?
Been pretty good.
Do anything exciting or... Exciting and new. Did you come aboard anything?
No.
Were they expecting you? No one listening is going to get that. It's too old of a reference.
It's quite the reference right there, unless they're fans of the TV Land channel on cable.
What's cable?
Don't even get me started. You youngsters and your internet. What's with all the cats? Anyways, what did I do? Not too... Well, no, so I tell you... The week was fairly quiet, but the weekend was fairly full. On Saturday, went to a reception for a long time friend. Say it the other way, it sounds
they're like old.
Yes, when they're not old, they're
age.
Been friends for a long time. Yeah,
yeah.
From church, they had a reception for their wedding at their house. They had the wedding a while back, but because of life and circumstance, they like, let's just do the party later. So that's what they did, and that was a lot of fun. We also got to check out his studio. He's a kinetic artist.
Okay.
Which is, kinetic means motion, and then art is obviously art. But like, so like what he likes to do is like build like robots, little robots.
Oh, okay.
Which are more
how
like
fitting,
yes, very show. Fitting.
Do they attack?
No, these don't attack. They're more art installation than anything else. A lot of them have been studies in human motion,
okay,
and replication, and but also like how the like like Big Dog and some of the other like more natural moving robots that have been cropping up lately in the news, these are kind of like analyses of motion and okay. aesthetic and stuff like that. But they're really interesting. They're all handmade, brass and aluminum.
Nice.
Very, very cool stuff. And he has a, like, seeing a working artist's studio is actually a really interesting thing. Partly because, like, as you, like, walk through a space a person uses for working and, like, exploring their own thoughts, like, you kind of get a sense for what their brain is like, just a little bit. And that, yeah, he's like, huh, okay. And it's just also really interesting, like, seeing, like, tool, like, he has a computerized mill and a lathe slash power cutter, I think is what it was called. But it basically just... those really big machines that you may have seen on Mythbusters, like he has a couple of those. And nice. That's really cool.
To just mess around with, let's try and make this.
What's this doing? Yeah. No, not Don't doing that. That. Yeah.
Oh, no.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then on Sunday, did a birthday celebration for mother-in-law. Did got to ride the Niles Canyon train, which is a lot of fun. It's a volunteer historic railroad line.
Oh, okay.
That goes from Niles, which is a section of Fremont.
Okay.
Over to Sunol, which is a very small town, just out a few minutes away from Fremont Niles, and then back again.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a fun ride, and the. The valley, it goes through a canyon over there, a small canyon, which is very, very picturesque. My brain's just totally dumped the name of it now. but it that was a lot of fun. And then
going back to the artist friend,
mm-hmm.
I assume he has a website. We could post a link.
Yes,
or
I'll dig up that and
go and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about it. Sounds like you had a productive weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and rounded out with playing a ton of Quiplash with you and Kane on Twitch. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
If you're unfamiliar, you are served a question, and then you figure out an answer for it, and then you get served, like, there's three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, and you get around and you're served two questions, and then you come up with an answer for those questions, and then you get paired up against someone else who had, you know, the same question, and then everyone else playing gets to vote which one they think is the best quote unquote answer for it. So, you know, depending on your group of friends, it could be not suitable for work kind of answers, or it could be, you know, suitable for work kinds of answers. So it's kind of like the Cards Against Humanity or some of those other games where it's open for interpretation, so you get to kind of learn the group of people you're with, their sense of humor and what they find funny, and
the questions are intentionally leading sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun, and one of the best things about it is that you don't all have to have a copy of the game to play.
Yeah, that's really cool.
All you need is a web browser.
Just need a web browser.
And the room code, and one person has to own the game.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like...
And then it's cool, too. What makes it great for streaming is, like, even if... Because I think it's eight players. Even if the you know, you get a full count of eight players, people watching can be a part of the audience, and they can still vote, too. And that ties into points that get given out. So it's a cool way to, like... Well, even if I came late or I wasn't able to get in this round, I can still participate in the game, you know, and pick, you know, the answer I think is best and that sort of thing, or, you know. So I like that feature of it as well. It allows, like, everyone to be a part of it if they want to.
But. Mm-hmm. It's not so intensive a game that the chat room it can still be active, as well as players can still interact in the chat room as well as play the game, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, the Jackbox party people seem to know what they're doing. when it comes to these kinds of games, that they seem to be getting better and better with them, and finding out who all is playing them and what they're doing with the games and stuff. So,
mm-hmm. And they have a history of being good at the party game thing too, since like their earliest incarnations were quite good. In case you don't remember, it's the You Don't Know Jack series.
What are you saying? I know Jack.
Well, yeah,
actually,
you might.
I don't. I don't think I know. I'm trying to think. Do I know Jack?
It's Jack Bauer.
Oh, okay. But I don't really. Well, I know of him. I don't technically know him.
Yeah. So, it might be a bit of a stretch to say you know him. But
That's true. Quick, don't change the station.
Good times coming up. So what have you been up to?
Oh, man. Maybe I should have gone first because there really was. Okay. Here's what I'll throw down. So, you know, being unemployed, you have that great, like, hey, that freedom of time as far as, well, you're not tied down to, I got to go to a job from this hour to this hour.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of then like, well, I'm not really making money, so I can't really go out and do a whole lot of things that require money.
Right.
So it has, like I've mentioned previous on the show, like it has given me more opportunity to hit up the Humane Society,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I've been doing more of that. So like I think I spoke last week or one of the previous weeks of helping the ringworm kittens, you know, dipping them and cleaning them. So this previous week, they had two rooms dedicated mm-hmm. to the ringworm kittens. Now they've narrowed it down to one, so that's good.
Okay,
because that means there's less ringworm kittens.
Yay!
So what we did was, the staff did like kind of the rest of the kittens did the dipping and all that mm-hmm. sort of stuff, and we like cleaned out both of the rooms, like super deep clean them
mm-hmm.
to get them ready for this room's going to go back to being what it normally was, which was like a respiratory room for kittens with colds or that sort of thing. And then the other room will be just for the ringworm one. So we did all the cleaning and changing out the cages, getting rid of the toys, doing the crazy like wet vacuum spray XL, mm-hmm. like all this super cleaning stuff. And so we did that. So like I didn't get the only interaction that I had with the kittens were one of the other volunteers was in the room. She was grabbing the cats and I was outside mm-hmm. the room with the clean or with the cages that they were going to be put into each litter.
Uh-huh.
So watching her kind of grab them, it was kind of funny because they were like some were kind of like, okay, pick me up. I mean, you know, if you've ever picking up a cat that doesn't really want to get picked up, mm-hmm. you know, some kind wiggle like crazy. Especially if they're like, you're going to take them to get washed and that sort of thing. They have this sense of knowing like something's up.
No, you're going to do something to me. Stop it.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny watching her like grab some of them because some of them would be like, you know, there's towels laid down in the cages. So, you know, it's not just this metal cage floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like grabbing the towel and like, nope, I don't want to go. I'm taking this with me. And she's like trying to pull them out. And they're like, nope. One last paw with the claw. Like, no, I'm taking the towel. No, I'm taking this with me. I'm not going. So
you can't make me. It's like, yes, actually we can.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny, quote unquote. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. To see and then put them in. And then thankfully, also on the plus side, I think a lot of those kittens we did, it was their last, like, dip before getting, like, soon put out for, you know, being able to be adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good, too. They're like, oh, don't worry, this is the last time you're doing it. But obviously they don't understand what you're saying. But, you know, you want to say something reassuring.
Yeah, sometimes you like the tone of voice, like, I don't know what you're saying, but that sounds kind of nice.
Yeah.
I hope that what you're saying is true, whatever it is.
Yeah. But and speaking of things that are true and nice.
What's that?
If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not in your radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And of course, we have a pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU. That is our call letters that are unique to us on the globe.
That's right. And if you're thinking, well, man, I'm at home. I've got this, you know, brand new next gen console. You know, maybe I want to like play some games or something, you know, but like, man, like I would really love to hear these guys like through my speakers or something. That would be so cool instead of, you know, just my smartphone or my laptop.
Well, good news. There is very likely an app for TuneIn on your platform of choice.
That's right.
So you can hear us whenever you want to.
Whenever you want. No excuse.
Yes. While you're raiding in Destiny, you can still be listening to us.
That's right. And us as in, you know, our show, as well as the entire KSU catalog of DJs and shows.
Mm-hmm. Which should be changing up and getting hopefully more exciting as the year progresses, as the fall kickoff just happened. Mm-hmm. So you might be hearing new voices soon.
That's true. And because we've got a brand new website. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty slick. So we're...
Yep, KSU.org, where you can also listen to us.
That's true.
We stream through there as well.
And, you know, I think they're always... taking suggestions on the website as well. So, drop them a line there if you're like, hey, I wish the website did this, or, oh, this is really cool. Glad you guys did this. But so, that's, I did that with the kittens. And then I'm trying to think, like, I've been trying to catch up on the second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
because
it's on Netflix.
Right.
New season's going to start pretty soon, I think, at some point this year.
Yeah.
So, and like, I wasn't too thrilled with the first season. Like, it got a little more interesting, maybe like halfway or kind of the last chunk of it.
Uh huh.
But I gotta say, so far, I haven't finished the second season. I don't know. Have you watched any of the show yet? Or
I've watched some of the first season, not very deep.
Okay,
but a few episodes.
I would say now, I haven't finished the second season. Yeah, second season yet. Mm-hmm. I got to say, the second season, way better than the first season.
I've heard this.
Way better. Like, it's still nothing like, oh, this is the greatest show ever. But, yeah, it's way better than that first season. I don't know, like, what it took for them to finally cut. Maybe just they needed some time to get their groove or something. But, yeah,
I think once they found, once it kind of, like, sunk in that they could tie into the, they had a movie to tie into, which was at, when that season was out, it was Civil War. That's the one coming out now.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I think it touched on both Dark World and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and I think when the first season came out, they were still trying to figure out where it fit into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I include television in that just because it's movie, video, TV kind of fall into a similar pile. And so I think that's kind of what happens. Like, they were just trying to figure out where they exist. And once that first season was over, they're like, okay, we can pull strings from here and here, which will tie into this. And then
that's definitely a good possibility, I think.
Yeah. And also with the Daredevil, Netflix, the Netflix Marvel series, multiple series coming out, that will probably also, like, I'm sure there's gonna be some like stuff there depending on what their licensing deals are, but
yeah, whatever it was, I'm glad it happened because it's made for a much better show. I've actually been like, finish an episode and go like, yeah, I actually really want to see what happens next. I'm glad I have, you know, all the episodes available, where before it was like, all right, you know, that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I can wait a week like for the next one kind of thing. It wasn't this one's like, yeah, this is actually pretty good.
Netflix play.
Yeah. Or are you still watching this? Like, yes, continue watching.
A.
So I've done a little bit of that, and as you know, continuing to stream both Metal Gear and Mad Max and Witcher and stuff like that. So, and speaking of streaming, it's probably my last thing of Geek Talk that I can think of.
Right.
And nothing else has popped in. TwitchCon.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening this weekend. Starts like Friday and Saturday in San Francisco. I'm still like, I'm kind of like on the edge. I'm not sure. I kind of want to go, and I'm kind of not sure if I should go. Like,
right.
So, I'm trying to like pros and cons. You know, it's like, okay, like I mentioned before, you know, unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So, fundage, not so much so spending the money for, you know, a ticket, you know, or just, you know, spending the money in general, like maybe not the greatest thing. But on, you know, on the pro side, it's an actual local convention. It's like I wouldn't have to pay for hotel or anything like that.
It's true.
I did look like the passes for both days, like the two-day passes or whatever, like those are all sold out. And like
yeah, that's what it says. The after
parties
site.
Are sold out. Yeah. But the individual days, last I checked, were still available. So
that's what I'm seeing.
Okay. So there was that. I was like, well, okay. Like, I think I could take the train or something, you know, up there. So that's an expense also, but you know, it's
not
also
a
like,
heavy one.
Yeah. But also like, well, okay, I don't have to drive. Like I don't have to worry about parking, that sort of thing. And you know, like, well, okay, that's something I could talk about on the show, you know, next week. And it's like, it's the first year of it. So, you know, that might be just a cool experience in itself. Like,
yeah,
it's like, hey, it's the first year and I like streaming. I've been doing it fairly regularly lately, you know, committing to a schedule and that sort of thing. I mean,
exactly.
I don't really know like the big, too many of the like big name streamers. So like, I don't really know exactly like what's going to be at this convention. I know a few people who are going kind of like, when I say no, I like kind of in quotes, they're like,
no, as in like no through the Twitch.
Yeah. Stream. Essentially like, you know, they'll come into mine or I've been into theirs or, you know, like I've met them maybe a couple times in real life at other little events, but you know, beyond that, I don't really know a whole lot about them, but, but yeah, I'm just, so it's like, I'm trying to decide like, would it be, I wonder if I should go anyway, like go, because I was thinking kind of maybe Saturday. I know that one, I think that day is a little bit more expensive than Friday.
Yeah,
but
because it's a full, it's probably the fuller day.
Yeah. Or and usually it's like, I don't know, I'd have to look at the schedule, but they usually plan like a lot of the bigger stuff on like the Saturday. If you look at like Comic-Con, that's usually like the day that gets sold out first.
Yeah.
They usually plan, you know, big stuff on that one, but,
true.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm still debating like if I should go or not. Oh, and then the other thing is, you know, we have those bookmarks and flyers, so it'd be like a good place to pass some of those around, set them down on things like Robots Attack, little bookmarks here you go.
Just saying,
flyers, you know,
pick one up.
Yeah. Have you heard about us? We're
totally awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I'm still like in that I don't know phase of should I go? Like,
I understand it can be a quandary sometimes, but it sounds like it'd be a pretty cool show, and one day wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. If you're going out there, let us know.
Go to Facebook.com/robotsattackshow or Twitter.com/robotsattackme. Leave a comment, like the page or what have you there. That would be awesome.
Yes. Help me decide, should I go or should I not?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's generally what I've been up to. Nothing else terribly exciting, so. So I think on that note, unless there's anything else you want to mention.
Sort of.
Okay.
Tangenting off of your Mad Max streaming.
Okay.
There's a show I've been listening to called 28 Plays Later, and one of the hosts is an Australian.
Ah, okay.
Which has been really interesting hearing his take on the Mad Max game.
Okay.
He's like, because he can't stand the accents. Not a one of them. He wants them all the accents to go away, which he found out that he can. You can turn off dialogue and subtitles. So it's just you and the road, and then he pumps the soundtrack for Fury Road and just goes off and destroys in the desert.
Interesting.
Yeah, because interestingly enough, he was also playing Metal Gear Phantom Pain and Mad Max.
Okay.
And when he finished Phantom Pain, he was very disappointed in the ending. He was, no spoilers, I don't even know what the ending is, but
okay.
Apparently he found it very unsatisfactory.
I've heard that from a few other people I follow on Twitter.
Yeah, it's almost the ending of any big event arc, like the Metal Gear Solid arc has been, is going to be a little disappointing.
Yeah, that's
so
hard.
I don't know. It's like even the Mass Effect ending, there's a lot of people that are very torn about how they feel about that.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure there's part of that, but he was like so fed up with it. He's like, I just gotta find something else to do. And so he's like, so he jumped into Mad Max and was and that's when he found he could turn off all of the sound except for sound effects and turn off the subtitles. So it doesn't, because all the map does show you where you want to go. You can highlight your points. You don't need to hear anything other than the sound effects of the world.
Yeah.
To play. And then he's like, and it's been a great release to just drive through the deserts and destroying everything in sight. It's pretty awesome. It's like, huh, interesting take on the whole, like, juxtaposing, like, these types of games.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're, like, from a specific country, you know, have a, and then hearing, like, you know, someone else's sort of take on the accent or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, he really enjoyed Fury Road, so he's like, keep waiting for Tom Hardy's voice to come out of this guy's mouth, and it's not. And so it's just not. He's like, I can't accept this.
Yeah, I can remember when they were, like, originally announced the game and talked about some of it, like, there was no intention to have an Australian, like, accent or voiceover, that sort of thing. But then fans complained, like, no, it's got to be Australia, you know, it's like, you got to be, it's so, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wonder kind of what, like, you know, what they would have gone with without it, if it would just would have been.
We would have sounded American.
Yeah.
Which.
And what that would have sounded like.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, even listening to this, I mean, it's, I don't know, the whoever does Max's voice, I mean, I don't have any, like, qualms about it. It's nothing incredible or anything like it to me. I think the best ones have been Chum Bucket and actually most of the kind of other leaders that you interact with, but I think the person who has the best dialogue and gives the best performance so far that I've played, because I haven't beaten it yet, has been Chum Bucket, and he doesn't have a Australian accent, so that sort of sucks as far as for that guy, like, turning everything off. And, like, I mean, I guess it sounds like, I guess he didn't like Chum Bucket either, but
no, he's like, I can't stand his nattering on all the time.
Okay.
So I think he was just fed up with all of the extraneous voiceover, because from what little I've seen of you, like, Chum Bucket does like to talk, not excessive, not quite as excessive as I think he feels, but I'd also not playing, so it maybe doesn't affect me nearly as much, but
everything affects everybody differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, but interesting. Yeah, that's. I wonder, doing that for other games, just turning all the.
Yeah, I'd be curious what that would be like, because, like, a lot of other games, like, they actually push the story forward with the dialogue. Like, it does actually have meaning. Whereas, like, in Max, it's almost like, I guess you could technically turn that off.
Yeah, I mean, you could always too if you just. You could just throw on the subtitles if you want to read and not hear. Then at least if you wanted to know what was going on in the story, you could read it if you want to.
Yeah.
Speaking of reading things,
San
Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. Through your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Oh, and I will say, no, since we probably get yelled at by somebody out there, like, how come you didn't talk about the new episode of Doctor Who? It just started this weekend. I know it just started this weekend. I haven't watched it yet, so that's why I didn't mention it. But,
yeah, fair enough.
But, you know. Just so you know, and we know that it started. So if person out there who's yelling at their device of choice mm-hmm. that we're coming out of that we didn't talk about or mention Doctor Who. Here you go. I mentioned it and why we're not mentioning it.
Why we're not talking about it further than the mention.
Than the mention. There you go.
Yes. It all comes together.
So, is that going to do it for Geek Talk?
I think that's going to do it for Geek Talk.
All right. We're going to take a music break, and then we'll come back with some new releases.
Woo!
Here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara. All righty. Here's some music for you.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's righty. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara.
We're now
into some new releases dropping this week. Starting us off in the theater, we have Hotel Transylvania 2. That's right. Apparently, there were enough people that liked Hotel Transylvania 1 that they made a sequel.
It's a pretty decent flick. First one.
Okay. Never saw it.
Yeah, it's actually a fair amount better than the name would imply.
Okay. Good to know. Well, let's see if 2 holds up as well.
We shall see.
Everything seems to be changing for the better at Hotel Transylvania. Dracula's rigid monster-only hotel policy has finally relaxed, opening up its doors to human guests. But behind closed coffins, Drac is worried that his adorable half-human, half-vampire grandson, Dennis, isn't showing signs of being a vampire.
Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh.
Blah, then, blah, blah.
Yeah. Then we have the intern. Ben Whittaker is a 70-year-old widower who has discovered that retirement isn't all it's cracked up to be. Seizing an opportunity to get back in the game, he becomes a senior intern at an online fashion site founded and run by Jules Austin.
Hmm.
And then we have 99 Homes. A father struggles to get back the home that his family was evicted from by working for the greedy real estate broker who's the source of his frustration. And we have Finders Keepers. Shen Wisnot has a nose for a bargain, but when he bought a used grill at a North Carolina auction, the severed human foot he found among its ashes was not part of the deal. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Soon the gruesome discovery becomes the toast of the informative world, and the new owner spies a golden opportunity to cash in on the media frenzy.
Infotainment.
Mm-hmm. Until struggling addict and amputee John Wood recognizes his missing member and demands his own foot back. The member is a foot, mm-hmm. not what maybe you were thinking, or right. especially for those who are just tuning in that literal second.
Yes.
It is the stuff of documentary legend. Mm. And then we have, last but not least, The Keeping Room, the end of the Civil War. Southerner Augusta encounters two renegade drunken soldiers who are on a mission of pillage and violence. After escaping an attempted assault, Augusta races back to the isolated farmhouse that she shares with her sister, Louise, and their female slave Mad, which the pair of soldiers track Augusta down, intent on extracting revenge. The trio of women are forced to take up arms to fend off their assailants, finding ways to forcefully defend their home and themselves as the escalating attacks become more unpredictable and relentless.
Mm-hmm. Well, something else that's going to be unrelenting is the DVD and Blu-ray releases for the week.
Whoa.
Only because there's a lot of them.
Wow.
There's a few that might be interesting to you. Big Sky on DVD. A teenage girl is gripped by agoraphobia. That's a fear of open spaces, not a fear of rugs or, you know what I mean. But her mother hopes that a high-end medical facility will help cure her daughter. But when a van taking the girl to the facility is attacked by masked gunmen, she must face her fear or die.
Whoa.
If you want something a little bit lighter, but still kind of fun, check out The Flash, Season 1,
okay.
on Blu-ray and DVD. Barry Allen, he's a CSI investigator, which seems a redundant title, because CSI has investigation. Anyways, yeah. He's likable.
It's an ATM machine.
yeah, that's true. Let's see. He's likable, he's intelligent, he is constantly late. And due to a fluke of science, he's also the fastest man alive.
Whoa, fluke of science.
Now he turns his newfound powers against the forces of crime. haunted by the murder of his mother and the wrongful conviction of his father, Barry was, why he turns to fighting crime. Anyways, Barry is not the only one who was affected by the accident, and Central City will never be the same.
On a less joking side note, the series is actually pretty good. It's pretty fun.
I've been hearing it's actually has a stronger audience uptake than even Arrow. So.
Oh, okay. I will say though, I hope the second season they do a little bit more with the two female leads, because they're relegated to like whining and scowling.
Yeah.
People who watch the show,
you'll know
what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, it's like they're not horrible. It's just like
they don't do as much as they have the potential to be.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they did a little more than whining and scowling.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say.
Fair enough. Not whining or scowling, possibly with a bit of both, actually. A movie inspired by true events, In the Name of My Daughter. This film is based on true events and covers a case without a body or proof of guilt.
Mm.
But it's held together by a mother's firm belief that a former associate is at the root of her daughter's disappearance. In a story full of twisted love, betrayal, the truth may never be fully known, even 30 years after the event that triggered it all.
Ooh.
Yeah, that is a long time to hold a grudge. If you want something that's... I also think that one is a French language, but I'm not positive. So
oh, okay. Get ready to read unless you understand French.
Yes. And also not for children. Then there's Moonrise Kingdom, hard turn to the left, perhaps, from the last movie, that is. Also on Blu-ray and DVD, at a camp in the 1960s on an island off of New England, a boy and a girl fall in love. Things become more complicated when they decide to run away together. This turns the town upside down and shakes out all sorts of interesting things. It features an all-star cast and a heavy dose of critical acclaim. And then rounding out the possible interesting is Pitch Perfect 2 on Blu-ray and DVD.
Oh, now you're talking.
Mm-hmm. It's the next chapter in the Barden Bells and follows the madcap antics around their senior year for the a cappella group.
You couldn't see, but I was rolling my eyes.
Mm.
That was for the audience, if they're listening.
Right.
When I said, no, that's what you're talking about. Which, hey, if you like Pitch Perfect, that's awesome.
I've heard those that enjoy it quite a bit.
I don't like musicals, so.
Yeah, that would definitely.
Just to, you know, preference my uninterest in it.
Yes.
So if you're all like, throwing stuff at me, like, look, I don't like musicals. So.
Yeah, it's that aspect as opposed to the quality of the film that turns you off. Fair enough.
Okay, so where normally Jason would tell you about video games, I will be telling you about some video games. Okay, we've got Blood Bowl 2.
Ooh.
If you're familiar with Blood Bowl, the classic, like 40K football, like, or not 40K, but like fantasy, like Warhammer fantasy, but in a football form.
Is this actual Blood Bowl with like the orcs and the Bretonians and the interesting. That's right.
Blood Bowl 2, it's back for more bowl.
And more blood.
Yep. For the PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Then we have Soma for the PC and PS4. I've noticed it's been getting some pretty decent reviews. I think it's a kind of a spooky game, I think. I don't know a whole lot about it, just kind of like glances at little tweets or little headlines kind of stuff. But
cool.
Here's something that's... not intentionally scary unless you don't like soccer or football.
Football!
But FIFA 16 is dropping for the PC, PS4, Xbox One, PS3, and 360.
Goodness.
Then we have Skylanders Superchargers Starter Pack for Wii U's actually getting something this week.
Yay!
Yeah. And also for the X1 and the 360, not the 350. I don't know why my...
autocorrect, perhaps.
Maybe, yeah. I'm going to change that right now because I'll forget it later and then I'll pop it in and people will be like, what's the 350? Oh, these guys suck. I'm never listening to them again.
It was a typo.
Yeah.
A typo.
Let's say, you know, More love for the sports lovers out there.
Oh.
Got NBA 2K16 dropping on both PlayStations and both Xbox platforms.
Yeah.
And rounded out, and again, like we mentioned with other new releases, there are tons of other stuff,
mm-hmm.
just kind of grabbing like handfuls of things.
Right.
And especially certain stuff that I've at least sort of heard of,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So maybe there's some bias there, but I apologize. But yeah. Last but not least is The Flame in the Flood. For the longest time, I thought it was The Flame and the Flood,
mm-hmm.
but apparently it's The Flame in the Flood.
Interesting.
It's an indie game dropping on the PC, Mac, and the Xbox One, and it looks pretty sweet. It's like a roguelike, if you're familiar with that term. About like a girl traveling on like a boat and hitting a bunch of these different things. And it's not submerged if you're thinking like, oh, I remember that indie game of girl like traveling with her brother trying to find out. It's like, no, it's not that one.
It's a different, it's like the Hall of Hollywood thing where they were making an ant movie and another ant movie kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's
similar ideas, close together, but not related at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
So there you go. There's some video games.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of ideas, closely related, but not directly connected, comic books. Right, over at DC, it's Harley Quinn and Power Girl, number 4. Vartox may have successfully wooed Power Girl, but the final results are uncertain since Harley is still about and a galaxy conquering alien. So, you know, it's just another day in the DCU.
Yep.
Meanwhile, over at Marvel, more aliens because it's Inhumans, Atalian Rising. I apologize for those who are bigger Inhumans fans than I am.
Maybe Atlantean?
No, it's Attilan. The Resistance finally has the power to make a strike against Battle World. Why? A newfound alliance between Black Bolt and Medusa.
What?
Yeah. And just in case you're keeping track, this is also the end of the month. This is the last month of the Battle World storyline, so there will be several titles that may or may not be wrapping up and coming back.
Okay.
So we shall see. We may have to say wave goodbye to the Thor Corps, which will make me actually kind of sad because saying Thor is just sort of awesome.
Oh, not the Thor Corps.
Yeah. But not being taken down anytime soon is from Dark Horse. It's Fight Club 2, number 5. Since his release from the mental hospital.
Numbers make. Yes.
Yeah. It's the sequel to Fight Club, the fifth issue of.
Yeah.
after his release from the mental hospital, Sebastian is just like everyone else, another cog in the grand machine. Meanwhile, Marla is investigating the clubs that have spawned from the original Project Mayhem, where she finds out that the current project ain't a good old boys club anymore. Then from Image, it's Nameless, number 5. What could bring a person to give up their own identity? This and many more secrets revealed as the world teeters on the edge of destruction!
Oh!
Written by Grant Morrison, so it should be fairly good.
Hmm.
Then wrapping it up with IDW's Donald Duck, number 5. Donald is the Diabolical Duck Avenger!
What?
And this souped-up anti-hero has a score to settle with Uncle Scrooge.
Whoa. Watch out, Scrooge.
Yep.
Donald's coming. Nice. Now, can you do Scrooge?
My Scrooge McDuck is not nearly as good as my Donald.
One out of two. Mm-hmm. Is good. That's fine.
Pretty solid. Works.
Okay. I will wrap us up with some new music. We've got Car Call by Disclosure. It's the second full-length release from the brother duo of Guy and Howard Lawrence. Features guest appearances from Quabs, Lion Babe, Lord, Miguel, Gregory Porter, Jordan Racky, Brandon Riley, Sam Smith, and The Weeknd.
Which Weeknd?
The Weeknd.
Oh, that Weeknd.
Yes, yes. that one in particular. Okay, then we've got Savage Hills Ballroom by Youth Lagoon. It's the third full-length release for the Idaho singer-songwriter. It was recorded in Britain with Ali Shant. We've got Music Complete by New Order. It's the 10th full-length studio release for the British dance rock band. Features guest appearances from Brandon Flowers, L.A. Jackson of LaRue, and Iggy Pop. And
oh, wow.
We have You in My Wilderness by Julia Holter. The 4th full-length release for the Los Angeles-based singer-songwriter was recorded with Cole M. Griffneal. And another one that I forgot to put down, but I saw a bunch of people talking about, so I should mention just so people aren't yelling at, like, oh, how come you didn't say that? Mm-hmm. There's a new Churches album.
Ooh.
I'm assuming it is pronounced Churches, right? I mean, it has like a V in it, yeah, but I'm assuming it's...
No,
Or is it like Chverches or...
Chviches? I can't remember precisely, but yeah, I think the V is supposed to be pronounced, but... It's a very awkward thing to say, so I'm not positive.
Okay. Well, if you know who that band is, they got a new album out this week.
That's kind
of exciting.
Apparently
people are loving it, yeah, according to Twitter.
Their last one was pretty good, too.
Yeah. I think I remember playing some tracks,
mm-hmm.
if maybe not on our show, having it at the station and playing it.
Yeah.
Of the band. So, all right. Speaking of music, we're going to take another music break. And while we do that, we'll also read our PSA. But since it's the really long PSA, I'll throw on some music and then we'll come back. You know,
sounds like a good plan.
We'll throw that in while the music is playing as well.
Yes.
All right. And after the music break... Is, of course, news.
The news.
Do you have anything you want to tease the folks with?
Hoverboards that move satellites.
What? All right. That sounds like DARPA talk. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara after the music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. It is now time, everyone. Don't forget, you can still participate. Especially since we're just starting it, Caleb's quickly tell them.
Go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. We'll be posting our stories up there, and you can comment on them, like them, link back to them, whatever you desire. It'll be awesome. But
yes, because that's
how we interact with you on the show. It's great.
Yeah, and why you want to do that is because.
News.
It's the news.
Yay! I'm launching with the one I teased.
Ooh.
So, in case you hadn't, if you've been living under a technological rock, you might not have heard, but there have been several people that have come out with a quote-unquote hoverboard. The most notable kind of mixed results, kind of not entirely thrilled with the results, was the Lexus hoverboard, which I talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the companies that made a hoverboard device is called ArxPax, ArxPax, and they took a different spin on this, on the idea of the hoverboard and what could make a device float, and this technology could actually be useful.
Okay.
So, satellites are not many. Many satellites are not very big, but they do occasionally need to move orbits or change position around the Earth and stuff like that. And how do you move them safely? Usually, you have to. They send up a radioactive core for the a little bit of radioactive material, which supplies electricity the system, or they have big solar panels, usually both.
Mm-hmm.
But the fine folks at ARXPAX created the MFA, which is not a Master's of Fine Arts, but a magnetic field architecture. And what this does is through electric current, it creates magnetic fields that with variations in the current, they can create different types of fields, different formulations, different spins, they can do a lot of really cool magnetic field manipulation.
Okay.
With just the structure of a device and electricity.
Huh.
So the movement the source of movement for a satellite could be the body of the satellite, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
The idea is to use this to either move a satellite around or to have them dock more safely, because objects moving around the Earth without resistance, aka in a vacuum, move very, very, very quickly. And without gravity to give it resistance, they don't stop very well either.
Yeah.
I remember one of the astronauts on the ISS saying that, like, one of that moving objects through the space station is actually really simple. You just push it, but it's stopping on the other side that makes it really a bigger problem. So if you can have a way to buffer the two devices before they actually connect with these magnetic fields, then they can dock. They can set up alignment. They can dock more safely.
Okay.
All these kinds of things that are kind of problems to be solved with, and they have been more or less worked out. But it's a lot of like manual skill on the part of whoever's on, or technical skill on either end of this to make the connection happen without event.
Mm.
So this technology might assist in helping these movements in space be safer for all involved, be they mechanical or flesh and blood. So that's kind of interesting, because it takes the idea of hovering and saying, well, we can do more than just hover, but we can take these ideas and use it to facilitate easier movement that isn't just replicating Marty McFly's iconic movements in the Back to the Future Part 2.
Yeah.
Which we all really want, but I don't think we're going to be able to accomplish that any time in the very near future. I mean, there's people working on it.
But to that degree.
Like. Yeah. Yeah, that was movie magic at its very best in my mind, because it's like, oh, I want that, but that's so not going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially not in the time since the future was 2015 and we're there now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're coming up to that date.
Mm-hmm. So we did get hoverboards that hover, but it wasn't a hoverboard.
Yeah.
Like the Mattel that was in the movie.
Yeah, so. I can remember going to Universal Studios, and I forget which tour it was, but it wasn't about specifically like Back to the Future, but like they mentioned it was part of, so you know, it was probably some special effects tour of some kind, and they actually had like lying down sort of in the background there the pink like Mattel
props
and stuff like that, and just seeing and be like, you know, you're like a little kid, like, oh man, you know, it doesn't actually hover, but just seeing it actually real, you know, off the screen, you're like, I still want it. Like, maybe it will work. Maybe it'll be some magic and I'll like touch it and it'll really work for me if I just
It'll be the first time it works. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and we have a tweet from one of our listeners.
Yes, I just saw that.
It's pronounced churches.
Okay.
So.
The
go.
V is silent.
The V is silent. The V is to make them cool, to stand out.
It's true. It does make it unique, and it actually probably is great for their SEO, because when you misspell churches, you find them.
Yeah.
And the other way around.
Yeah. I wonder if at a point now, though, Google or whatnot recognize, like, did you mean churches? Like, yeah. You or
I'm sure that has come up, and then you start adding like music or band after it to make it actually go.
Yeah. Okay, so my story, which I'll get to right after I read this. I should read this because it actually it's very important. Not that the other PSA about water is important, especially if you're in California. It's very important.
Yes.
But this one is useful. Also, want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? You can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And, of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU.
That's right. Okay, so if you were to ask, you know, someone who created Batman, you know, and if they were perhaps like super duper into Batman or, you know, like a fair amount into Batman, you know, they'd probably tell you, oh, well, Bob Kane.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Kane created Batman.
It's at the end of almost every single Batman thing ever created.
Yeah.
In the modern time.
Well, it looks like, according to this article from Nerdist, Batman co-creator Bill Finger finally gets credit on Gotham and Batman v Superman.
Oh.
One of the myths surrounding Batman is that DC's iconic superhero was created by one man, Bob Kane. Thanks to a contract that Kane signed with DC in 1939, he was given sole credit for creating Batman for decades. But the reality is that writer Bill Finger co-created Batman, and he added many of the elements that made the character famous, including Bruce Wayne, the Batmobile, Gotham City, the Batcave, Robin, Catwoman, and even co-created the Joker with Kane and Jerry Robinson.
Well, there you are, then.
I'd have to say yes, those are fairly big, important aspects of Batman.
Kind of important, yeah.
Kane only acknowledged Finger's contributions to Batman 15 years after his death in his 1989 autobiography. But today, DC Entertainment announced a deal with Finger's family to finally give Batman's other creator his due. Beginning later this season on Gotham, Finger will be listed as the co-creator of Batman with Kane, and he will also receive a credit on Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Nice.
Quote, Bill Finger was instrumental in developing many of the key creative elements that enrich the Batman universe, and we look forward to building on our acknowledgement of his significant role in DC Comics history, noted DC Entertainment President Diane Nelson. So that, like, impersonation may not have fit. Finger also co-created the original Green Lantern, Alan Scott, in 1940. Finger's other contributions to DC include the creation of Lana Lang in the Superboy series, The Penguin, Batmite, Clayface, and Betty Kane, the original Batgirl. Interesting. Kane and Bob Kane and the thing. Additionally, Finger wrote two episodes of the Batman TV series starring Adam West in the title role. However, Finger died in 1974 without the recognition that Kane had long received. So there you go. Batman was not created by one man.
No. Oh. And it wasn't the director of the Christopher Nolan either.
No.
Even though he made Batman.
You swear to Christopher Nolan.
Swear to me. No. The departing from science fiction of Batman, but still kind of science fiction because it's awesome, is the research that has been done that shows on leukemia treatment, where leukemia patients are being treated with their own blood. Now,
say what now?
Yes, the blood has been cells have been treated so that the white blood cells look for the malformed cells, which are the cancer cells, but leave the regular cells alone. And since it is the patient's own blood, they don't have the immune response against themselves when it comes back in. And they also, the body also recognizes it at its own, so on and so forth. So they have just started started the trials of this treatment, but it's showing very promising results. And there's no, I mean, beyond the modification of their own blood cells, there is no additional treatment being done. So like the, so like the sickness of going through chemo, because mm-hmm. you know, it's a pretty and pretty strong thing to do to your body.
Yeah.
That like is that eliminates the need for that in this case. I mean, it's not like most cancer treatments; it's not going to be everybody everywhere.
Yeah, it's not
going to
fit everyone, but
there's a really strong possibility that a lot of people may be helped out, and they may not need to spend a lot of time in chemotherapy going forward. And that's
that's really
exciting.
Yeah, yeah. As much fun as I'm sure it is getting blasted with radiation,
I'm sure
those patients would gladly
not
skip
have to,
that trip to.
Yeah, it's like if and all it is, I can see it in the face. So all I got to do is have a blood transfusion, and then we're good. I mean, there's some steps in between that happens to the other blood, but yeah, it just transfuses the blood back in, and it takes care of the rest, which is sort of wicked awesome.
I would agree. Okay, speaking of wicked awesome, it looks like the Peanuts gang is going to join up with Trick or Treat for UNICEF. When you answer your door on Halloween this year, don't be confused if Peppermint Patty asks you for money. In fact, make sure you grab your wallet and give it to her, because it's all for a very good cause. The gang from the Peanuts movie, which is dropping in November, will be helping out with Trick or Treat for UNICEF. So I think before, like, the Star Wars Force Awakens was having their thing with UNICEF, where you could win. They would randomly select someone to be in the movie, you know, as an extra.
That's right.
So I know that, you know, that's long past as far as that collaboration.
Right.
So now it's the Peanuts movie. So they're helping out with Trick or Treat for UNICEF this year. So you might just see Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the rest of the crew at your front door on Halloween. If you are unfamiliar with Trick or Treat for UNICEF, you can check out their website. It'll be included in the article in this. But there's a brief little kind of description. Trick or Treat for UNICEF began in 1950 as a way for kids to help kids in need of more than candy. Since then, children have gone door to door with their UNICEF collection boxes on Halloween, calling out Trick or Treat for UNICEF. They have raised more than $175 million for the U.S. Fund for UNICEF over the past 65 years. The program helps needy children around the world, providing things like food, clean water, medicine, and educational resources. Kids don't want any of that, right?
Nah, besides, it's only their future on the line.
They just give them candy. That's all they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Besides giving donations to trick-or-treaters, K-12 teachers and schools can get in on the action and help raise funds by getting resources from UNICEF. Teachers, just make sure you speak clearly when explaining this great fundraiser to your kids.
No, ma'am.
But so there you go. The Peanuts and UNICEF are going to be around for Halloween. That'll make sense, too. You know, it fits like the movie coming out in November. So,
To
dress up. But I'm going to be curious, like, what I imagine Star Wars will be pretty big this year for Halloween.
I should think so.
And now I got the Peanuts, so I wonder what else will be big.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. What are you going as for Halloween?
Yes. What's your costume?
Still September, but
yeah,
ahead now.
Mm-hmm. Start now. The spirit stores already started popping up.
Yep. Yeah, I think I saw those like almost a month ago. At least ads for them, like. It's like, oh man, already.
Yeah, it's like September 2nd and like Spirit Store now open. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
They did not waste any time, but I guess since they only last for like 2 months, it's like,
yeah, they
got to
get
sense.
In as fast as they can. And then it'll be as soon as like, actually we'll probably still see Thanksgiving stuff in the middle of October. Like,
yeah.
Beginning of October, it'll probably be Thanksgiving stuff.
Yeah.
Edging on the outskirts of the Halloween stuff.
Yeah, they'll be moving the Halloween candy onto the next aisle and they fill up the space with
Is that a zombie turkey? No, wait, it's...
Oh, that'd be good.
Speaking of good.
Speaking of good.
Hopefully.
Yes, good actually segue. It is good.
Okay, yes.
Um, the fine folks in the German engineering group that brought us the MP3, not the same individual team, but the overall research facility known as the Fraunhofer Institute, has made a new device which is designed to assist with electric cars. Now, what could this be? It is a heater. Now, that might sound sort of silly. Like, what do you need to heat? What's a heater doing for electric cars? Well, one, batteries' behavior will vary depending on temperature. The colder the temperature, the less output a battery has. Mm. So keeping batteries at a constant temperature or slightly warm. I mean, you don't want it too warm because then you have the opposite problem of like it breaks down. Uh-huh. But like if you can keep it at a constant temperature with very little current draw, like that will be ideal. And they have made it a new ultra thin, ultra efficient panel based around carbon nanotubes, which heats up in about a second and also cools off almost as quickly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So basically, you've turned the switch, you have heat. It's not like turn your car on, wait 5 minutes, and then you might start to feel a little bit of heat, and then by the time you get to work, your car is the same temperature and you have to run inside. But no, this will actually like generate heat in a flash.
Hmm.
And it doesn't require, and it's since its efficiency is so high, it doesn't require a lot of power to do it, so they could, it won't kill your battery, keeping the battery at the optimum temperature. And also, it will improve the heating system of the vehicle because it heats up that much faster. Again, less power, so then you can kind of regulate how much energy you need to run the heater in colder climates, so on and so forth.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
because isn't there something, like, not really a car guy, but isn't there something about like in the, you know, in areas of the United States where it gets really cold, snows a lot, like isn't there, don't they like recommend you doing stuff with your battery or something like that?
In the upper Midwest, there is a battery warmer that you plug in.
Okay.
That is
a
fairly standard feature on a lot of cars.
Out here in California, where it's not really a whole lot of different seasons,
We don't have that kind that exact level of cold, but that is a thing.
Okay.
And this would potentially even make an electric car useful in that sort of climate as well, which is kind of where they're trying to, like, if we're going to move to a mostly electric fleet of vehicles across the world in the United States, we're going to need to be able to operate them in more extreme temperatures.
Exactly.
So this could be a way of doing that. So there you are. Ultra thin, ultra light, ultra efficient, kind of cool technology.
Nice. Speaking of cool technology, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Okay, so should we take a quick music break?
Yeah, let's take a music break. Then we can jump back into your story. Why don't you tease the folks what we can come back to.
I'm going to tease you a little bit of Pirates of the Caribbean or Caribbean, depending upon how you want to pronounce it. Dead Men Tell No Tales. A little tease from the set, apparently. From a cast member.
Nice.
So we'll talk about that and more after this quick music break here on KSU Santa Clara with more Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack. We're going to wrap it up with the last bit of news before we're out of here. I teased you about some set info from the Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to actress, and I apologize, I know you're probably not listening, but I apologize. I'm going to butcher your name. I think it's Kea Scodelario. Talks Pirates of the Caribbean's Edmund Tunnel Tales. It apparently will be a return to form for Disney's popular treasure hunting film franchise, according to the Maze Runner star and Pirates newcomer. Quote, it does have a lot more of the first movie. That's what they wanted to bring it back to, she told Digital Spy. The producers want to take it back to the beginning again. They wanted it to have this epic journey and for it to make sense, for it to tie things up and also lead to new storylines. The actress has shared a few new details on her character, Karina Smith, and the journey that she embarks upon in Pirates 5. She is an astronomer, and she is an academic. She's fighting for the right to study at university because women couldn't at that time. Quote, so she's on her own journey, looking for the Trident of Poseidon, and she has a diary with clues, and she encounters Jack Sparrow along the way, and he messes everything up, as he does, and it's fun. So look for Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell No Tales in July 7th of 2017. And apparently, of course, Jack Sparrow will be making a return, played by Johnny Depp. But Orlando Bloom will return as well to replace his role as Will Turner.
Oh, interesting.
So be curious to see how they tie all that in. But
yeah,
it would be nice if it went back to the best Pirates of the Caribbean movie being the first one.
The one that actually had a cohesive story.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, funny that.
But yeah, so there you go. Whether they... live up to that is determined to be seen, but it's nice that they acknowledge that and hopefully they get back to it.
It sounds like that they have a good chance at it.
Here's open.
Here's open. So from there, from things dealing with hope to other technological advances that can also bring hopeful futures as well. A while back, I mentioned that a group, I believe, in Denmark? Not positive which particular European country it was, but they had developed a prosthetic arm that they could hook up to a test subject's nervous system, and they could put a thing in the robotic hand, and the test subject could tell whether it was round or spherical, hard or soft. DARPA has also been working on. I mentioned DARPA earlier. DARPA's coming right back, and it's called what we call a callback. Wait, no, it was only partially meant to be that. Anyway, they did not repraise or redo that particular research, but they have taken some of those ideas and pushed them forward in their own way. The other one could tell was the beginning of an actual neural interface with a prosthetic arm, so it had a physical sense. DARPA has gone a step further and made the individual fingers be sensitive individually.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Yes. Because when they were testing the prosthetic, they were kind of doing more of the, like, can you feel on any of the fingers kind of thing. Like, do you feel the... Do you feel me touching this finger? Yes. How about this finger? Yes. This one. Tell me when you touch one finger. And then at one point they asked the subject, tell me when I touch one finger. And the subject responded, is someone trying to play a trick on me? You're touching two fingers.
Oh. Okay.
So it's like, to which all the researchers, like, I'm sure did, like, happy dance, like full on Snoopy style, like or running around. Cause like this, when people have like really expensive high end prosthetic arms, these devices, while as amazing as they are still reasonably, in quotes, stupid. Mm-hmm. They have a switch that closes the hand or opens the hand. But if you were to grab a glass, let's say, you wouldn't know other than to hear it crack or be really close attention to what you're doing. When you have actually gripped this thing. And it's not going to fall out and you're not going to crush it. Or when you have just put your hands around a grasp around it. Mm. And so and being able to actually feel that, as if it was more like your own hand.
Yeah.
It's like this, like, boo. this is the stuff that DARPA does. Like, their purpose is to expand the reaches of science and technology, you know, almost irrespective of budget, kind of not completely, but like,
yeah.
Their funding goes into stuff like this. The researchers were also equating it to the scene in Empire Strikes Back where Luke is on the medical ship and they show the mechanical hand.
Yeah, yeah.
The team was trying, when they were discussing the research behind this, like, we were trying, they like specifically called out that scene as, we were trying to make this. We were trying to make an arm that would feel and respond as an actual hand.
Yeah, it's like zaps him. It's like,
ow. You hear, like, yeah. You see his fingers all twitch, and then ow.
Yeah,
like, that's where that's where this research is trying to spin itself, and it sounds like they are on a pretty good pace to get something very close to that. Because
one step closer,
and that. Like, it's hard to imagine, like, how much that will affect the lives of people that receive these devices.
Yeah.
Because I remember recently hearing about an actress in Hollywood. I can't remember what her name is now. She's been in the Hunger Games movies, the most recent couple, I think. And she has a prosthetic arm.
Oh, okay.
That's one of, and she has, because she can afford, and she has the opportunity to. She has a really nice one. Also, if you're going to be on camera, you kind of gotta look like it's. Anyways, but yeah, like, hers is still a fairly quote unquote dumb one, where it's just signal close, signal open. So, like, and that's like, this has been state of the art for up until this point, and now the state of the art has been pushed a little further forward, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In case you can't tell why I'm talking about it like this.
Yeah, just for, like, veterans and children and people who've, like, either were born without, you know, the ability to.
Yeah.
Or lost, you know, so. Yeah. This is definitely, it's good news all around.
Very.
I don't see how. Maybe there's some crazy people out there going, this is one step closer to the robots taking over everything.
The singularity is happening. Yeah. It's right before our eyes. Do you not see it?
You're nuts, but history will look back on you and you'll be crazy. And speaking of history,
to wrap
us up
on
Robots Attack, we have this day in history.
How fun will this day be?
Well, hopefully some good stuff. We've got Whale back in 1792. Remember, like, it was yesterday.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
The French National Convention voted to abolish the monarchy.
Oh.
There you go.
That's something.
Then we jump to 1897. I remember it like it was yesterday. The New York Sun published its famous editorial, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus."
Oh.
No, Virginia, there isn't.
That's not what you think.
Then we go to 1937. I remember it like it was yesterday. The Hobbit by J.R. Tolkien, according to Christopher Lee, rest in peace, was first published. There you go. See, we got some positive stuff going on in here so far. 1 year later, 1938. I remember. Okay, I'm not going to do
that. There's a horse.
A hurricane struck New York and New England with extensive damage and more than 600 deaths. Dang it, 1938, September 21, you were ruining it. Things were going pretty positively so far. Then we go a few years later into 1949. The People's Republic of China was proclaimed. Then we jump to 1964, Malta gained its independence from Great Britain. Then, in 1981, Belize gained its independence from Great Britain.
Oh, well, there you go.
And to wrap us up, in 1996, a certain John F. Kennedy Jr. married Carolyn Bessette.
Ah, and actually, I have one more to toss on there.
This website didn't list it on here, so
this day in history Today is also the birthday of one Mr. Stephen King.
What? Yeah. Who's that guy?
He's just written a few of the more, you know, well-received and well-enjoyed books of the 20th century. He wrote a little thing called The Stand.
Yes. Have you read any Stephen King books?
I have.
Which one have you read? Which ones or one or the little
parentheses? I started The Shining. I've read most of It. I have read Hearts in Atlantis and some of his short stories. And yeah, the one thing that he has always been a master of is the character and dialogue. Endings have gotten better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only one I've read is The Stand.
That is quite the tome.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like the ending on that one wasn't the greatest, but yeah.
Yeah. He's written very good stories and he's given us many excellent, movies actually.
On one of our Halloween specials, was it a Stephen King short story that you read?
I did a Stephen short story, yes.
Ah, that's right. Okay. It's like I thought, I remember, you know, read the short story, but I wasn't entirely sure if it was Stephen King. But okay. And if you want to listen to that, as well as some other stuff that we've done.
That's right. You can go back in time, at robotsattack.me. That is our website that has the back catalog of our show that we've been doing for the past couple of years now. You can catch up on all the awesome that's been going on. You can also get links to the stories that we have talked about. And you can interact with us there, leave comments, send us email, connect to us on Facebook and Twitter through there. We have links to all that good stuff on the website. It is the one-stop shop for all things Robots Attack.
That's right. All right, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next Monday from 7 to 9, unless something happens. But if it does, we'll let you know.
Yeah. Go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme, and that will be the fastest way to find out what's happening.
That's right. All right. On behalf of myself and Caleb, we want to thank you for tuning in and participating on the show, and it's never not too late to do it. And have a wonderful rest of the week and weekend, and we'll catch you next week, everybody. Take it easy.
Later.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.